You're listening to Second Half Sports, the leading sports podcast show, where raw opinions, hot takes, and bold predictions are a staple. Brought to you from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Now, here are your hosts, Cameron Sissel and Nubar Akparian, in 3, 2, 1.
All right, and cue special intro that I don't have prepared. This is the intro. Another solo episode coming at you for episode 37. Unfortunately, my partner in crime, Mr. Nubar Akparian, is a little under the weather. Confirmed not COVID. But he is not feeling well enough to do the podcast this week, so I will be handling the podcast episode duties this week solo. So here we go, episode 37. Obviously, last week was the Michael Jordan, Kobe, LeBron debate with myself, Nubar, and Jonah. Hopefully you guys have listened to that, episode 36, and enjoyed that. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys all got to go on our Instagram at Second Half Sports Pod and vote and give your opinion on who you think is the GOAT. It was nice to shake the rust off. I never really actually got to give my perspective on the podcast and the new year and 2021 year review kind of thing as a whole. So, I mean, Nubar did a fantastic job during that solo episode of reiterating, you know, our gratitude and appreciation towards everybody that has listened to any episode of our podcast, even if you listen to one out of 36, now 37, it's extremely, we're extremely grateful. All of our supporters and since we've now, you know, hit over that thousand mark, I mean, that was an extreme accomplishment for both of us. I mean, we didn't even really think that anybody would really care or listen to this podcast. We just were doing it for fun, like Nubar said, and we enjoy talking about sports and enjoy just, you know, shooting the breeze, and we hang out anyway. So we started this little podcast that you listen to now, and it's just sort of blossomed into something that we actually really care about and put a lot of effort into. And you know, it might not show, and it might not you know, seem like the highest of quality compared to some of the other more popular podcasts that might be out there that have millions and millions of listeners and you know, sponsorships and such. But we do put a lot of effort into the show, and you know, the editing and the sound and everything that goes into it. You know, even the solo episode, it was a little bit easier, you know, because I just got to do whatever I wanted with the script, and then obviously just record on my own schedule. But still, I did have to put effort into the script, and I had to edit the script a couple times, and then you get all your sound system done and or set up, and then even at that, I set it up, and you, after 5 minutes of recording, it randomly will stop, or something will go wrong, or something sounds different, so you got to play with that for a little bit. So sometimes you can record a whole episode and it doesn't even record, or it sounds terrible. So there's a lot of effort that goes into it. So I'm glad that you know, I'm grateful for the amount of listeners that we do have, and there's a lot of people that out there that we do understand, after doing a full year now, that they don't even like sports, and that's fine. I know plenty of people in my family don't like sports, and some of my closest friends don't like sports or don't care about sports, and that's fine. You know, there's sports that I don't care about. There's a bunch of other things non-sports related that I don't care. Everybody's got their own flavor. I get it. So even if you've listened just because you're friends with Nubar and I, or you just want to hear us talk about, you know, TV shows and movies in the first 15 minutes, we really do appreciate any energy that you do give to our show. So thank you very much. In terms of 2021 and the show, I mean, there was a ton of progression. Obviously, even with last week's episode, doing a whole, you know, starting a whole new thing, where now we have, you know, topic episodes. And this today's episode is going to be a little bit different than last week, just because it is me, and I'm going to just give quick updates on what's going on in the sports world like we usually did. But, you know, we are going to mix it up. So I think just learning from what we've been doing, really bouncing ideas off of each other. I mean, if you guys saw Newbar and I's conversations off the show, and, you know, when we are just hanging out or when we just text back and forth about the show, I mean, sometimes we'll just send pages and pages of text messages of just like, should we change, you know, our cover art? Should we change our logo? And we would go back and forth and back and forth and have like a 45-minute conversation about our logo or the colors in our cover art. And then it just eventually we just say, oh, you know, let's keep it. Or we decide to change something within the show, or we, you know, so we're, it's, I appreciate Newbar's willingness to bounce ideas back off towards me and just brainstorm. And you know, I know he showed his gratitude for doing the show with me. I couldn't have asked for a better, you know, partner to do the podcast with as well. It's been one hell of a journey, and we've already done 37 episodes doing a full year of this. And, you know, I don't see any reason for us to stop. You know, I know a ton of people that have started podcasts. I know a ton of people that, you know, listen to podcasts, and whether you listen or have your own, I mean, it's tough to stick with it, and it's tough to, you know, continue on. And even at that, to have any amount of success is also extremely difficult. So for us to even hit 1,000, you know, listeners and go a full year of this, and we both are, wanting to continue to do it and, invest our time and money into, you know, getting better sound and better, you know, mics and soundboards and software to do, you know, bring on different guests and stuff like that. So, I'm very appreciative for, you know, my co-host in Newbar, and, yeah, 2021 was definitely a learning year. So, you know, we're looking forward to 2022 being a full year of not only better material and better content, but, you know, just, really honing in and just getting better overall at the, you know, the flow of the show and knowing each other's thought process as we go through each episode is pretty fun. So, with that, I'm just going to kind of, like I said, I'm just kind of jump into like a ton of things. There's not really going to be like a huge, schedule to this episode or anything. It's just going to be, pretty, potpourri, that's the word I'm going to use there. I mean, this is how random this is. I thought I had the script up. Oh, here it is. All right. So to start off, I thought you guys should all just know, that I successfully, won, and, we're actually going to do a fantasy football year review, or season review, excuse me. Hopefully in the coming weeks, that would be really fun. So we've talked, that is something we've talked about, but I successfully won the championship in 2 out of my 4 fantasy leagues. Both the championships that I won, I did, unfortunately, I do have to say this. I did play Jonah, last week's guest, and he's been on a couple other episodes, but I did play him in both of the championships that I won. So he was not very, I'm sure not very happy with that, as I would feel the same way. But, so it was a successful fantasy season. It was a great fantasy season. I mean, I know there was a lot of ups and downs with COVID and with injuries, and, it was a pretty weird season in general with just, I mean, there's not really like an outlier team that's just like the best, you know, like just dominating. I mean, like you could say the Packers, but, yeah, really interesting season. So that made for some interesting fantasy implications as well. But, so I had to throw that out there. 1, 2 out of the 4 fantasy league championships. I don't even know who won the other ones. I think Jonah won, our college Western Washington league. And then there was another league that, Newbar's roommate actually won, Garrig. Shout out Garrig. I think, he won another one that we're in with a bunch of other dudes. So that was, at least it's in the podcast, quote unquote, podcast friend group here. But yeah, anyway, continuing on, Nubar and I are both actually training right now for races. Nubar has begun training for his half marathon in March, the Shamrock Run. I will also be running that race, but I will be doing the 10K, and he will be running the half marathon. So he has successfully started train for that. So that's been really fun to follow and talk to him about his progress in that, as I am training right now for my Vegas marathon next month at the end of February. So that will be something to look forward to. Well, I already am looking forward to it. This time around is tough. I'll tell you what. I mean, the Portland Marathon was obviously really hard. It was my first race, and training for it was pretty tough and pretty, you know, gruesome. I had never really put that many miles, you know, on my legs, and you know, my body was not used to going those distances per week, you know, putting in 50 miles a week, 60 miles a week. So I've gotten ahead of the curve this time around. I ran that holiday half in December to kind of tune myself up and get my body back into, you know, the regular rhythm of putting those miles in. So I continued training for that, and then I took about a half week off and then jumped right back into training for this one. This one means a lot to me because I will be running it again with my buddy Nick, who I ran the Portland half marathon with. But a lot of his family actually is going to do this race in Vegas, and they are all talking some trash. All talking some trash about my time, and they're all going to beat me and so on and so forth. So I'm actually using that, kind of, as sad as it may sound, I'm using that as added motivation to try and PR and try to get my best time out of the three that I will have done. So that's been extremely fun to continue training for. I have experienced some pain in different areas of my legs this time during the training, so that has added, just kind of learning, honestly, like it's kind of like a plus and a minus, because you kind of learn how to take care of yourself while training for something, whether it's a race or not. But yeah, the negative is you hurt, so that is going on. So after I run that, then a couple weeks later, Nubar and I will both run the Shamrock Run. But that's pretty much for like introductions and miscellaneous. Actually, no, movies and show wise, let's get into that real quick. So right now I'm watching Peaky Blinders on Netflix. I was told to watch it like a ton of times, so many times, for the longest of time. And never really watched it, never really got into it. I don't know what it was, like why I didn't, you know, like there's plenty of shows like that. Like everybody's got shows where you're just like, yeah, I'm, you know, I know there's been a ton of my friends saying like, this is the best show ever. But like, I just don't feel like watching it. Or like I watched the first episode and then I was like, yeah, I don't care. So, and like even myself, like I have suggested Succession, and I've brought that up in like a ton of episodes because I think it's the best show on TV right now. I've told so many people about it, Nubar and Eric included. Jonah and I are the only two that are really promoting it, but I've told a bunch of people about it, and like nobody wants to watch it, or they just don't watch it. But like that doesn't make sense to me. But again, I did the same thing with Peaky Blinders, so I guess it is what it is. But I have started watching it, and I've binged it so hard. Like, it's incredible. I'm already on season 4, and it's really good. Season 6 comes out sometime soon. I think February, to be honest. And then I got a bunch of other stuff I got to watch. Succession, obviously, just finished up last month. I'm going to try to finish Peaky Blinders here so that I'm ready for season 6, but then Euphoria just started back up with my girl Zendaya, and The Righteous Gemstones. For those of you that haven't watched that show, You should go check that out. I started watching it last year, watched season one, and it was really good. I didn't even know that they were going to make a season two until I randomly saw something, I think it was on Twitter. Anyway, John Goodman, Danny McBride, Adam Devine, Tony Cavallaro, like there's a bunch of good names in there. But yeah, season two just came out. There's two episodes out, and a third one will come out this following weekend. But that's a pretty funny show. I really enjoyed watching season one of that. So I'll probably watch the first two episodes here in the coming week or so. Try to get caught up on that. But yeah, Peaky Blinders, man, that's what I'm on right now, and it's real addicting. There's a couple of my friends that are watching it as well right now with me. But yeah, it's interesting. Cillian Murphy is just like Thomas Shelby in Peaky Blinders. I mean, how can you not love that guy? He's freaking just badass. I can't believe I just said freaking right there. Anyway, what else am I watching? What movies have I watched? I just watched French Dispatch, Wes Anderson film. For those of you who have seen Wes Anderson films, they're pretty different. Jonah and Eric would have better perspectives on Wes Anderson films and like what to think about them. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. There was like four or five different stories. It's like a collection of stories within this one movie. And it's about like an American, American newspaper, and brings the stories to life, and that's pretty much it. But, that was okay. The positive thing out of that movie was like all the actors, Benicio del Toro, Adrian Brody, who's the girl from 007? There was a girl from 007 in there. Francis McDormand is in there. Timothée Chalamet from Dune is in there. Jeffrey Wright, a lot of people know him from Hunger Games. Bill Murray was in there. Owen Wilson. I'm not going to give anything away. Henry Winkler. I'm not going to give anything away, but yeah, I don't know. There could have been some other things done differently, but like I said, Wes Anderson films are just like always different. So okay, well, I feel like I'm blabbering on about just like a bunch of different things, but like I said, some people like that stuff and some people will tune out right now when I start the sports stuff. So, as I say that, you moviegoers and people that just want to know about Newbar and I's, life, or lives, this is where you tune out because I am going to enter into
NBA news.
Okay. NBA news. I was actually watching the Bulls Nets game earlier, and that was a pretty good game. Bulls are number one in the East right now. Nets are number two, and the Nets actually blew them out. I think KD and Harden combined for like 52. Yeah, Kevin Durant had 27 points with 9 assists. James Harden had 25, 16 assists and 7 boards. Kyrie Irving had, what did he finish with? 9 points. He played 25 minutes. Yeah, he's been on. I mean, this is his third game back, so you can't really expect him to, you know, put on. For those of you who don't watch the NBA or follow the NBA, but you do know that Kyrie was out for the majority of the beginning of this season due to his vaccination status and drama surrounding that, he has now been allowed to play in games where vaccinations are not required, and he can play in those games. So he's played in the last three games. They played in Indiana, Portland, and then they just played in Chicago. So that's pretty much all I got for you. But that game was really good. Overall standings, we could go through those. I mean, all I could tell you that is big. Just because, I mean, just like last year, the midway point is really where we start focusing on standings, just because everything fluctuates up and down so much during the beginning half of the season. But what I can tell you is Portland is number 10 for all you Portland people that listen to the podcast, which is a lot of you. The Blazers are obviously, as you know, the 10th seed in the West. We're 16-24. We're awful. And Damian Lillard's going to have surgery on his ab because that's been bothering him ever since he injured it in the Olympics last summer. So they're saying that they are going to shut him down for the year. Initial thoughts on this. I think it's a good thing. Hear me out. I think it's a good thing because there's a lot of drama surrounding whether we should trade him or not. This injury and his surgery has kind of put a damper on teams' major interest in him. A lot of point guards, historically, when you hit the 30 mark, kind of wean off, kind of decline. Let's say that. Kemba Walker, for example, was the latest. Once he hit 30, he kind of declined. And, you know, I mean, he's now with the Knicks and he's playing okay, but he's not the same as he was when he was, like, in, per se, Charlotte. Damian Lillard's 31. Now he's dealing with this issue. You know, he's carried a lot of our Portland teams, so he's there could be a lot of potential wear and tear there. So I am a huge believer in, obviously, the Blazers, huge believer in Damian Lillard, but I'm just, if I were on like a different in a different team's management office, that would be something that I would maybe think that would deter some teams away from showing interest in trading for him, or being hesitant at least. So I think this is a good thing because of that. I think this is a good thing because this season we already were playing awful. CJ McCollum also has dealing with his collapsed lung issue. I think they have that handled for the most part, but he's still healing from that. Nurkic was gone for a while there. But he's back now. We're just missing a lot of dudes. We're missing a lot of pieces. We don't have great pieces. We have a first-year head coach and coaching staff. What I do think also is good about this scenario is Anfernee Simons is balling. He is averaging like 35 since Dame's been out or something like that. Maybe not 35, like 30. He's balling, and he looks really good. I mean, he's crossing up dudes like Kevin Durant. He's throwing down dunks. He's making, you know, ridiculous reverse layups, just backwards shots that are all over SportsCenter. I mean, he's putting on. I mean, yeah, we're not winning some games that we should win or losing terrible games, but, like, he's got no one else. You know, Nurk's playing okay. Rocco has been off and on. And then you have Nazir Little. He's also an aggressive player. My opinion, though, I would say we probably need to trade Nurk and Robert Covington before the trade deadline. I just think it's time to blow that kind of out of the water and do a full reset. I do think that Dame will be back next year, but I think if we do the same thing we did this year and we don't make any serious moves, that him leaving is a very real possibility next year. So I think we get a fully healthy Dame and CJ back next year. We trade Nurk and Rocco, get a bigger bigger body for down low and maybe a couple better role players and run it back with that. It also gives Chauncey Billups and his coaching staff a full season this year with a shit season under their belt. Coaching when you're losing is a lot harder. You gotta motivate your guys and you gotta keep everybody positive. So hopefully next year, you know, he'll have a little bit more wisdom and experience from this year. In saying that, let's get into some other stories though. The Atlanta Hawks trade deadline kind of stuff, but the Atlanta Hawks are one of the teams that are eyeing current guard for the 76ers, Ben Simmons. Still hasn't played a game. He was dealing with some mental stuff. He was dealing with some back stuff. Still hasn't played a game for the 76ers. The Hawks are one of the teams eyeing him. The 76ers are trying to now package Tobias Harris, with Ben Simmons to make that more enticing to get rid of Ben Simmons, because not a lot of people were trying to give up as much as the 76ers want. So now they're packaging Tobias Harris to, you know, kind of quantify asking for so much from another team. My best trade idea that I've seen is Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons for John Collins from the Hawks. It makes sense for both teams because John Collins has been unhappy recently with the Hawks, with his role. He's confused with his role, hasn't been getting the same looks that he's gotten in the past. And there was kind of friction when this whole contract thing happened last year. So I think it just kind of has still been, I don't know, it never was put to bed that he was maybe a little bit more unhappy than people knew about. But anyway, they are also 17-23. They're the 12th seed in the East right now, so they're not even close to being in the playoff picture. I mean, the bright spot obviously is that you got a lot of good dudes on that roster. I thought they'd be much better this year, but you know, Trae Young's been in and out with the COVID stuff, and I think he was injured for a couple games, but yeah, I don't know. They just haven't performed the same way that they were last year. So they're 3-7, for example, in their last 10 is what I just pulled up. So not the greatest. Moving on though, the New York Knicks have showed interest in Cam Reddish. So I don't know if like the Hawks are just trying to like sell assets that they think maybe aren't going to help them in the playoffs after going to the playoffs last year. Maybe they say like, oh, we need some new guys that like we'll be able to make it to the playoffs, but we need guys that are going to like continue to get us further in the playoffs. And maybe they don't see Cam Reddish as a guy that can do that. I don't know. But the Knicks have some interest in Cam Reddish. I don't know what that does for the Knicks. I don't think Cam Reddish is like a game controller kind of guy. And they don't really have a game controller kind of guy in New York right now anyway. I mean, like Julius Randle proved in the playoffs last year, he's not a game controller. He's not going to take over a game. Anyway, yeah. Caris LeVert, Indiana Pacers guard / forward / you know, kind of do-all guy. Him and Sabonis are like the best players on that team. But him and Sabonis are both drawing trade interest. Indiana has been quoted of saying they want to essentially start over and just, you know, blow it up and rebuild. But Caris LeVert is drawing a little bit more of the trade talks, and those have seemingly ramped up in the past couple weeks. Miles Turner, also an Indiana Pacer, is getting some trade interest as well. That is pretty much the main trade talks that I've seen been circling around. If I miss something, leave it in the comments or shoot us a message, or just yell at me if you see me. But that's the main stuff I've seen right now. I'm sure there's a ton of other stuff that is, you know, on the smaller radar, or will come up in the next week or so. The last thing I'll finish with too is, just for like NBA news kind of stories, but Klay Thompson back from injury. Hadn't played for 2 years dealing with the torn ACL, and then he blew out his Achilles. Listen, as a Portland Trail Blazer fan, I love the Blazers. When the Blazers and the Blazers, when they were good and they were going, you know, like the year we went to the Western Conference Finals. I know that was a terrible sentence right there. I just like was trying to figure out how I was going to word it. When the Blazers went to the Western Conference Finals that year, and like, you know, the years after, and this is terrible. This is awful. I have not made any sense of literally what I've just said right there. Anyway, God, see, now I don't even know what I was trying to say. Oh, this is where I need Nubar right here to roast me, and then I kind of get back on track. But as much as we might hate the Warriors, and the Warriors are frustrating to watch sometimes, or they're frustrating because they just win so goddamn much, it's really nice to see Klay Thompson back. I've enjoyed watching Klay Thompson. I mean, he's one of the best shooters, him and Steph obviously, but he's one of the best shooters too of in history, and one of the best defenders as well. So, I mean, he just works really hard. There's, you know, he doesn't complain. He doesn't bitch about a ton of stuff like some other players, but it's really nice to see him back, and it's really cool to see how hard he's worked to get back to this point in time. So, shout out Clay. I'm sure he listens to the podcast. Moving on from that, you know, I'm just looking at the standings too. Let me see. My biggest surprises, honestly, right now, I'll get to that. All right, here we go. We're going to go NBA Power Rankings. Don't you love how sporadic this is right now? NBA Power Rankings. Number one for me. This is just for me, not Nubar. Nubar didn't input any opinion here, so if you don't like this or you disagree, don't slander Nubar. Come for me. It's fine. I can handle it. Number one, Golden State Warriors. I think they, even though Phoenix is above them right now for the one seed by one game in the West, I do think the Warriors are the best team in basketball right now. I mean, obviously you can put the Bulls and the Nets up there, but I don't know. It's tough. I just think the West is so much better than the East. So for right now, I'm going to say the Golden State Warriors, especially with Klay back. It's going to take them a while to get gel back into the system, but we're going to go with them at one. Number two, I have the Suns. I mean, it just makes sense. They're the number one seed in the West. Both teams are amazing at home. They're really good away as well. They've both had the same record in the last 10 games, 6-4. But yeah, that's where I'm at with them. Number three, I have the Bulls. Nubar and I are big Bulls fans in the Eastern Conference, 27-12. They did just lose to the Nets, so I do have a little bit different of an opinion, but for now I'm going to keep them at three. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're really good at home and they're really good away. They score a lot of points and they play great defense. That's pretty much the best winning formula you can have. So number four, I have the Utah Jazz. They are 5-5 in their last 10. But they are really good also away and home. They play team ball. Like there's not like Donovan Mitchell is their best player by far, but they just play a lot of, they just have great chemistry. Like their roster for the last 4 years has been essentially the same. Like Jordan Clarkson, I think came in 2 seasons ago and he's been obviously great. But besides him, I mean, they've had the same dudes. So they play really good team ball. They play really good defense and they just flow well together. Number five, I have Memphis Grizzlies. Now, this is one of the surprise teams I have this year, surprise teams of the year. They're 29-14 right now. They also play really good away and at home. They are 10-0 in their last 10 games. They're on a 10-game win streak, and they're playing really well, and Ja Morant is the catalyst of their win streak right now and of their season. He missed a good amount of games from injury, but he is amazing right now, and he's so much fun to watch. For those of you who haven't seen the block that he had in the Lakers game against, Crypto Arena, against the Lakers last week, you should do yourself a service and go watch it. He loses the ball, turns it over, and instead of pouting and bitching at the ref, runs back, jumps up the highest I've seen anybody jump in a number of seasons, and grabs the ball off the backboard. It was incredible. So go watch that right now. Pause this and go watch it if you haven't. But for now, we are moving on to number six. I have the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know. This list was really hard to make. I just think the Milwaukee Bucks are better than... I'm going to alter this list right now because I just watched the Nets-Bulls game. If the Nets have Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant playing all of them at the same time, which they did in the Chicago game, that's what I'm going to use as my standard for this list right now. But I would move the Nets above the Bucks in and the Heat. So I'm going to put the Nets at 6. And then I'm going to put the Bucks at 7 and the Heat at 8. Yeah, that's all the explanation I'm going to give for those teams. 9, I have the 76ers, which I hate still that I have to put them up there. But, I mean, they're also pretty good. I mean, they're not great at home, but they're pretty good away. And they're 8-2 in their last 10. Joel Embiid's on like a 6-game streak of scoring 30+. So he's a monster. And then I have the Mavericks at number 10, rounding out my top 10. I just think Luka Doncic is incredible, and he's, as long as he's in the lineup, he's going to carry them to, you know, close games. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're pretty average home and away, but they, I just think they figure out ways to win. They're the 5 seed right now. Yeah, I can't put the Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers in there. I just, like, they're just all pretty inconsistent. And the Lakers, I mean, they're just a train wreck sometimes right now. So, honorable mention. This is what I was going to say earlier. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 24-18 right now. It's incredible. It's incredible what they're doing. They're winning without LeBron, finally. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. So that is a little, you know, not concerning, but like just different. But they're playing really good basketball. Jarrett Allen, Darius Garland has been, you know, an extremely productive, I think pretty sure he's a rookie. He's 21 years old, so he's got to be a rookie. Kevin Love's putting up good numbers. Lauri Markkanen was a good free agency signing. Evan Mobley's been a great rookie. They got some good guys. Chetty Osman is still there and alive. Ricky Rubio was playing great for them until he tore his ACL, but they just got Rajon Rondo to kind of fill in for him. So yeah, it's really interesting what they're doing, but, yeah, I'm curious to see where they end up. So I have them as my honorable mention. Okay, continuing on, we are going to get out of the NBA and we are going to go into
NFL news.
Okay, so for NFL news today, I'm going to hit you with some quick hitters here, and then I'm going to go through, as we enter into the NFL playoffs, I'm going to go into some matchups and hit you with my predictions for round one this weekend. NFL news, though. Panthers are rumored to be open to moving Christian McCaffrey, although these rumors were then shut down a day later. My thoughts, though, on this? Listen, for the past like 3 years in fantasy, him and Dalvin Cook, I just can't get behind because they get injured every single season. So if they trade him and they get good value, that's fine with me. I wouldn't be mad. I mean, if I'm a Panthers fan, I'm probably pissed, but like part of you also has to think, yeah, he does get hurt every year. And they also are terrible. And they don't go to the playoffs and win. So something's got to happen. And this might be that something. Moving on, Falcons came out and said that they're bringing back Matt Ryan and he will be their quarterback in 2022, at the start of the next season. Why? He's dust. The guy's like 56 years old. He's declined incredibly. Have you seen his mobility? It's non-existent. So don't bring him back to the Atlanta Falcons from Cameron. Do not bring Matt Ryan back. Best regards, Cameron. That's all I got. Cooper Kupp successfully won the Triple Crown, which, for those of you who don't know what the Triple Crown is, it's the most catches in the NFL, most receiving yards in the NFL, and most receiving touchdowns in the NFL. I think he came like 50 yards short of breaking Calvin Johnson's single-season receiving yards record as well in the season finale against the 49ers. I really thought he was going to do it, especially when the way they went to overtime, but he did not. But he did successfully take the Triple Crown, and he was the number one receiver in fantasy this year. Shout out Deebo Samuel, though. I had him in fantasy, and he went off all year. Seahawks, a little bit of Seahawks here. Quandre Diggs, this was, as a single tear goes down my face, this was so painful. So painful to watch. Season finale against the Arizona Cardinals, he was had a significant leg injury. His foot was literally pointing the opposite direction, backwards, and I think he broke his fibula. So he stayed in Arizona to have surgery. Tyler Lockett stayed in Arizona with him to be there for him. So that was, and he said that, you know, that's my brother. I got to be there for him, which, man, that's amazing. I mean, I know that happens like in a bunch of other, like on a bunch of other teams, but like the Seahawks just like, that just like epitomizes the Seahawks like personality. And just like the togetherness that we've always had. So I thought that was pretty cool. I wanted to throw that in there. Staying with the Seahawks, Russell Wilson came out and said he wants to stay with Seattle and win in Seattle. Pete Carroll says that Russell Wilson is our quarterback, and he hopes that he will be there next year. All signs are pointing to him staying. Now, with me saying that, enter all of the trade rumors and drama that people are going to stir up and piss people off and piss the front office off and piss Russell Wilson off and Ciara and whoever else that he's connected to. And there's probably going to be points in the offseason where we think he's going to just leave. All signs right now point to him staying. Other thoughts about the roster? I think, man, I really want to know what Seahawks fans think about Jamal Adams. I mean, obviously it's tough because Quandre Diggs was having like the best season of his life. And if he didn't get injured, I would say we could let go of Jamal Adams and free up cap space. Not let go, but like trade or something. And bring Quandre Diggs back, obviously, and then you know, have more cap space to like get a better corner or draft a better corner, but then use that somewhere else as well. I think the offensive line needs some work. I think we draft an offensive lineman and some defensive players. I think running back wise, I think Rashad Penny is the guy next year. I think Chris Carson needs to go. I mean, as much as I love him and his services were much appreciated, he gets hurt every single year. So those are my main critiques. I think our offense besides that, is fine. I mean, we're just going to have to, you know, change up the schemes a little bit, get a different game plan going into this next season, and we'll see where it takes us. We played really well in the latter half of the year. Once we weren't going to make the playoffs, we kind of played with a little bit more freedom and looked nice. But that's not to say that we still need to pull our heads out of our asses and figure out how to win, even when we do have bad games. So, moving on, there were a lot of coaching and management firings after the season finale finished up. So let's get into those. Minnesota Vikings fired head coach Mike Zimmer and GM Rick Spielman. We all saw the writing on the wall with this one. The Vikings need, you know, a lot of different things going forward with their franchise. So a new head coach and GM with fresh mindsets on the roster and offense and defensive side of the ball is best for Minnesota right now. So we'll see what happens there. The Chicago Bears fire Matt Nagy after 4 seasons. We also saw the writing on the wall with this one. He had a couple successful seasons, but lately they have sucked bad. So that was not a surprise. This one was a surprise. The Dolphins fired Brian Flores. I've seen some mixed things actually about this. Some people thought it was like okay that they fired him because Like even this year, like they started 1-7 and then they went on a 7-game win streak to get to 500 and then they were off and on and ended up missing the playoffs in the last week of the season. But yeah, they've started every season really slow and then they figure it out. So like you got to adjust and start seasons better so you can actually get into the playoffs and do something. So people understood it for that, but also, you know, I think some of the pressure goes on GM. I think some of the pressure goes on the roster. You know, maybe Tua not being able to perform in those bigger games that they need to win. Draft picks. So I don't know. I'm not a Dolphins fan, so I don't know if there was anything else that was wrong that might have led to it. But Brian Flores is, I'm sure he'll find a great home with a different team. And he's already interviewed for the Bears job. And I'm pretty sure he interviewed for another job, but he's going to get picked up by somebody. The Bears also interviewed Doug Peterson, former Eagles coach who coached and won the Super Bowl against the Patriots a few years ago, Todd Bowles, and Dan Quinn. The Dolphins have interviewed Mike McDaniels and Dan Quinn as well. Another firing, Giants fired Joe Judge after a 4-13 season. This one was wanted by all Giants fans because they suck and Joe Judge sucks. They're going to need to get somebody that's like really, you know, strong-headed and is going to make those changes that might hurt but need to happen. And he's going to have that freedom to do it because GM Dave Gettleman retired after this year. So they're going to have that freedom, but those were the main firings and such that happened after the season wrapped up last weekend. Before I go through the matchups for the first round and wild card matchups this weekend, I'm going to give you all 14 playoff teams, and I'm going to rank them, actually. I'm going to do my pre-playoffs power rankings brought to you by Cameron Sissel right now. So here we go. Number one, I have the Green Bay Packers. Like I said earlier, I think there's no like clear-cut best team this season that you would look and be like Super Bowl. Like it's their Super Bowl to lose. But I think if there is that one team, it's the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is playing extremely good. They have Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. They have a great defense. They have good supporting cast on offense as well. And great coaching, great fan base, and everything's going right for them. So that's what I got for you. Number two, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Number three, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are interesting because they're missing a lot of dudes. Leonard Fournette's going to come back for the playoffs, yes, but he's not going to be 100%. There's no way. Antonio Brown, as you all know, has left. He's not with the team anymore after his fiasco in New York against the Jets, walking off the field and taking off his jersey and undershirt and pumping up the Jets crowd because you know, of some other things that happened with the coaching staff. But they're missing him. They're missing Chris Godwin, who's out for the season. And they have Gronk and Mike Evans. And Mike Evans, actually, I'm pretty sure he hurt his hand in the last game. I don't know if that's still lingering or if it was just they said something was going on just for the meanwhile. But, yeah, they're banged up going into the playoffs. So we'll see. It is Tom Brady. That's why I have him up there. They have a good defense as well. Number four, I have the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, pretty much everything that you see is what you get with the Dallas Cowboys, and that's exactly why I have them up there. Their offense is great when they want it to be, and their defense is also great. So if they play to their potential, they're scary in the playoffs. Number five, Titans. They're the number one seed in the AFC, so they have a first-round bye. I have them up there. Derrick Henry's going to come back. Their defense is good. A.J. Brown's back. Julio will be back. And I think they're dangerous if they get hot in the playoffs. Number six, I have the Bills. The reason I have them ahead of a lot of other teams is Josh Allen and their experience in the playoffs. They also have a scary defense. So we'll see. I don't know. Their offense has looked off and on all year. Josh Allen's looked off and on all year, but They've been to the playoffs a couple times now. They performed last year and got to the AFC Championship. Things could happen this year. Moving on, I have the Los Angeles Rams. The reason I have them above everybody else this year is Matthew Stafford. Now, same thing. He's also very up and down. He could throw three picks, or he could throw like four touchdowns and no picks. But they have a ton of weapons on offense. They have a fantastic defense. And I definitely think they could heat up in the playoffs and be extremely scary. So we'll find out. Continue on. I have the Bengals. Now, the Bengals are above everybody else that's behind them because they are extremely hot going into the playoffs. I think Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, I think Joe Burrow. I think they're all elite. I think Joe Burrow is one of the scariest quarterbacks, young quarterbacks in the league right now. And if you catch them on a day where they're hot and your defense doesn't play great, I think you could be in trouble. Number 9, I have the Patriots. Number 10, I have the Cardinals. I have the Cardinals lower because since they lost D-Hop, I just think they haven't been the same. Like, something's off. And then when they lost that game against Green Bay, when Kyler Murray threw that pass at A.J. Green and he wasn't looking, again, something's just been off since then. So I have them lower. I don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs. They could go on a tear, but they also could just get bounced in the first round. They play the Rams, and I think they could lose to the Rams pretty easily. 11, I have the 49ers. The NFC West is representing this year in the playoffs, except for the Seahawks, RIP. 49ers could be scary, but again, I just don't trust Jimmy G, and they could get bounced in the first round as well this weekend. 12, I have the Eagles. After watching the Raiders-Chargers game wrap up this last weekend, I'd probably put the Raiders above them, but for now on this list, yeah, I have the Eagles at 12. I have the at 13, I have the Raiders, and last, I have the Steelers. Jonah, I know you're pissed that I have them very last, but who would I put them above? I mean, sure, I could put them above the Raiders or the Eagles, but I have zero faith. I have negative faith that they will win this upcoming weekend. So with that, we'll get into the matchups here, and I'll tell you why. So first off, we're going to go Kansas City. Actually, yeah. Let me see what the schedule for... Okay, we're going to hit Saturday's game first, actually. So we got the Vegas Raiders against the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati is 5.5-point favorites. This is the afternoon game on Saturday. It's in Cincinnati. I have Cincinnati winning this game. I think the Raiders had a good season. I think it might be close to start, but I just think, like, we're going to get to the late in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, and Joe Burrow is going to throw like a long ball to Jamar Chase, and it's going to break open the game. And then the evening game, you have the Patriots and the Bills. I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. My prediction is that the Bills win because it's in Buffalo. But again, I just, like, anything could happen. Sunday, you have in the morning the Eagles against the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers are the third best team in the playoffs. I think they're going to win this game. The Eagles could, you know, make it tough on them for the first two quarters or so, but I just don't think that happens. Continuing on in the afternoon on Sunday, we have the 49ers against the Cowboys in Jerry World. I have the Cowboys winning this game pretty handily. I just don't think the 49ers are going to put up points on the Dallas defense for some reason. And then in the evening, you have the Steelers against the Chiefs, which is exactly why I just don't have faith in the Steelers. Do I think they could keep it close for like a quarter and a half? Maybe two quarters, sure. But I just don't see that. I don't see the Pittsburgh defense holding Mahomes down for the whole game. And I also don't see Ben Roethlisberger being able to score points to keep up with Kansas City. Monday, you have the lone game Cardinals-Rams to wrap up the first round of the playoffs. I am going to take the Rams in that game. I just think the Rams have more weapons. Like I said, I think Arizona has been off since that A.J. Green debacle at the end of that Packers game, and then since they lost D-Hop too. It's also at SoFi. So I just think the Rams are going to win that game. I think they're going to ride their fan base. They're going to ride their great defense, all the weapons on offense. Wouldn't be surprised if Cooper Kupp catches for 2 touchdowns and Odell adds another one or something like that. But those are my first round slash wild card predictions. And that is pretty much all I got for you in NFL and for the sports section of this episode. So if you managed to follow through until now, I'm going to successfully reward you with
Cameron's quote of the week.
All right. So, man, that was really good to hear. I haven't heard that in like a month or something like that. Let's hear it again.
Cameron's quote of the week.
Okay, here we go. Man, that was good. Cameron's quote of the week this week for episode 37 is, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. This comes to you from Milton Berle. The reason I chose this one is 2022 for me is the year of, and this is what it should be for you. It is what it is for me, and it is what it is for, you know, hopefully Nubar as well, too. I'm sure he's going to get behind this quote. I'm sure he would be like, oh, that's so dumb, just, you know, on air, but 2022 is the year for putting ourselves in different and uncomfortable scenarios and situations to open ourselves to more opportunity. I think it's that year where 2020 and 2021 were extremely hard. Obviously, COVID's been very apparent. Obviously, a lot of other things have been happening. Supply shortages everywhere, price increases everywhere, you know, the housing market, everything. I mean, just family issues, whether it's with COVID or something like that. It's been tough. And so 2022, you know, as the quote says, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. But provide yourself with that opportunity. Put yourself in the shoes of somebody that, you know, or who you want to be. Put yourself in the shoes of who you want to be. Go to that gym. Go to do that workout. You know, apply for that job. Go hang out with your friends that you might not go hang out with. I don't know. And that might be the worst quote out of all 37 episodes, but I think it was a good one. And with that, this is the end of the episode. Now, when I say that, I'm sure there's some people out there that are like, oh, finally, like, I hated that. But, like, also, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, that was a pretty good episode. So, with that, subscribe to our channel. subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, Second Half Sports. Go to Instagram and follow our Instagram for, you know, snippets of episodes. We do a lot of polls and questions, you know, asking you guys questions from each episode or who's going to win a matchup or stuff like that. But go follow us on Instagram at Second Half Sports Pod. Leave us comments on whatever you want. Send us messages on whatever you want. But yeah, again, appreciate you guys for listening. This has been your solo episode 37. Nubar and I will be back next week to, I'm pretty sure we're going to hit you with the fantasy season review. But we will, I guess we'll find out for sure in episode 38. So again, thank you guys, and drive safe.
Gotta love it, baby.
Thank you for listening to the Second Half Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts today. And check out at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram for all your Second Half sports news and updates.